I'd imagine a lot of people don't think of today's feast day of Divine Mercy as being that big of a deal or nothing to get excited about. You know, maybe it's something that a priest might get excited about because it's a liturgical feast day, but for a lot of people, it might be just another Sunday. So I want to reflect a little bit today on why today's feast of Divine Mercy is a big deal for each and every one of us. And just to give an indication of how important this feast day is, this is not a feast day that the church came up with. This is a feast day that was specifically requested by Jesus Christ to Saint Faustina to have the first Sunday after Easter to be the Feast of Divine Mercy. So this is something that Jesus himself intervened in church history to establish. And it's a relatively recent feast day. It was established by Pope John Paul II. And of all the things that Pope John Paul II experienced and witnessed during his life, he said that the happiest day of his life was the day that he instituted the first Feast of Divine Mercy. And he said that his entire papacy was shaped by Divine Mercy. That was the heart of the papacy of one of the greatest popes in the history of our church. And so that can convey to us a sense of the importance of today's feast day. But to really understand why the Feast of Divine Mercy is significant, we first have to recognize what our true spiritual condition is. You know, it'd be nice if God would reveal that to us. You know, if we were to know what is pleasing within us in God's eyes and what is not pleasing. You know, that would be tremendous to kind of get a sense of that. But really, you know, we see that clearly on the day of our judgment. But in this life, we don't have a clear sense of that. But a lot of people think that they're doing pretty good because they haven't killed anybody. You know, that's their standard for behavior. They say, well, I haven't killed anyone, so I guess I don't need to go to confession. And, you know, I'm doing pretty good. Well, I guess it's good that you haven't killed anyone, but if that's our standard for behavior, there's a lot that's going to be lacking in that. And so, so it's important for us to set a different standard. And the standard that we should set is the perfection that we are created for. If we're to think, what is the greatest possible generosity? What is the greatest possible patience and self-sacrifice and fortitude that we could possibly demonstrate in our lives? That should be our standard. Ultimately, we should be looking at Jesus Christ and the example that he sets of virtue to be our own standard. If that's our standard, we're going to start to see that very often we're falling a little short of that standard. You know, if we think about some examples, well, what is our response when somebody corrects us? You know, let's say we've done something wrong or said something wrong and someone corrects us. Well, most of the time we can get a little testy with that person and be like, mind your own business, or you know, why, you know, focus on yourself, you know, why are you correcting me? Or we might even say, well, I haven't done anything wrong. But that's a sign of our own self-love and lack of humility. Like, if someone corrects us, we should be grateful to them for correcting us. But often that's not what we do. Or if someone insults us, do we show the patience that Jesus Christ showed in his passion when he was getting mocked and spat upon? Or not? Do we get angry or lash out? You know, how often do we get annoyed with the habits of our family members? You know, how often do we get in fights with our siblings or get frustrated with our parents or our children and we lose our cool? Well, we should be grateful for the people who are around us. We should be thankful for them every day, and we should show them incredible patience. But yet we often have a lack of self-control and, you know, we have a short fuse and, you know, we don't behave that way. You know, another thing to reflect upon is, are we lukewarm in the faith? You know, sometimes people think, well, it's okay to be lukewarm. It's not that big of a deal. But one of the things that Jesus said to St. Faustina was that, this is a quote from our Lord, lukewarm souls wound my heart most painfully. My soul suffered the most dreadful loathing in the Garden of Olives because of lukewarm souls. If we're lukewarm, it shows a lack of love, because love is not lukewarm. So if we're lukewarm, that means we're not loving God. And so there should be an intensity in our spiritual lives where we thirst for prayer, and that we are willing to sacrifice many, many things to do works of mercy towards others, or to be able to spend more time in prayer. And so so the standard that we set in our behavior shouldn't be, well, I didn't kill anyone. Our standard should be the perfection that we're created for. And if we think about it, you know, we cannot, the way our world is, we can't go to heaven if we have all these vices and all this brokenness, because then heaven would be just like earth. We can only go to heaven if we're completely transformed by God's grace. And in the mercy of divine mercy, the first image that Sister Faustina had commissioned, she wanted our Lord to look the way that he looked when he appeared to her. There's a background that's almost entirely black. And Jesus is taking a step forward in the image. You can see that in the image painted on the side of church over here. What this symbolizes is the darkness of our lives, our spiritual brokenness and darkness. And Jesus Christ is stepping into that with the radiant light of his grace in order to offer us healing. And he promises on today's feast day of divine mercy, of all days, that the gates of mercy are opened wide, and our Lord desires to pour out his healing graces upon us in incredible measure. And so that's the first thing for us to reflect upon with today's feast day. And the second thing going along with today's feast day is our Lord makes an incredible promise, and it has to do with temporal punishment due to sin. So when we commit sin, there's the eternal punishment and there's the temporal punishment. The eternal punishment is taken away initially in baptism, and then for mortal sins committed after baptism, the eternal punishment is taken away in confession. But for every sin that we commit after our baptism, there's a temporal punishment that accumulates. And if we've committed sins every day of our lives, every one of those sins has temporal punishment that comes with it. And we either need to do that temporal punishment here on earth through penance and almsgiving and different means that the church gives us, or it's purified in purgatory. Our Lord's promise is that on the Feast of Divine Mercy, for people who go to confession, and it doesn't have to be today, but in the days leading up today or soon after, so you have a couple week window for confession, and receive Holy Communion on Divine Mercy Sunday in a state of grace, then he will completely remit the temporal punishment due to sin. That's one of the effects of baptism, is the complete remission of temporal punishment. And that's the grace that he promises on Divine Mercy Sunday for those who go to confession and then receive the Eucharist in a state of grace. And so with this background, I think it becomes clear why today's feast day is so important for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us is spiritually wounded and broken, and we need the grace of Christ. And today is a gift that proceeds from the very depths of the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ, where he opens up the floodgates of mercy, because he wants our temporal punishment to be washed away, and he wants us to be healed abundantly for our wounds. And so I encourage each one of us to take advantage of the graces offered today, that lukewarm souls may become inflamed with love for Jesus Christ, and the different areas of our moral weakness might be healed through the grace of Jesus Christ.